So today's passage is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 to 22. Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our ancestors that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time, I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly, there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness, and he added nothing more. Then he wrote them on 2 stone tablets and gave them to me."
Well, good morning, church. Good to be with you today. Can I start by telling you a somewhat embarrassing story? You quickly agreed to that, didn't you? Yes, I noticed. This is a number of years ago. I'd parked my car and was going to do some grocery shopping. And as I walked towards the shops, there's a group of people coming out. And as I see this group of people, there's someone in that group of people who's from the community group that I was part of at the time. So I think I'm going to say hi to this person. We're walking towards each other and we get close enough. And I'm going to say, "Hi, Emily." But before the words are coming out of my mouth, I realize this is not Emily, this person. But the message couldn't get from my brain to my mouth quickly enough. And so I said, the words came out, "Hi, Em." And this complete stranger, she looks at me and can you guess what she does? She says, "Hello." And very confused, and we are both kind of embarrassed and quickly walking on, never paying attention to each other again. I've noticed my face, I could feel my face getting redder and redder. Have you ever done that kind of thing before? I see a few nods. See, it's unusual for us to do that though, isn't it? Because we normally are like visual people. We rely so much on our eyes. Seeing is believing in our world. Which is, you know, why we spend so much money on things like glasses each year across our country. Or why a guy like Fred Hollows, is a real legend in Australia because he helped make many people see again. And it's also why this second commandment can seem so strange. It can go against the grain for us. Let me explain. Well, Jen just read the Ten Commandments. Last week, we read these from the book of Exodus, which recounted the time when God spoke these commandments to the Israelites. Now, Genevieve just read from Deuteronomy and chapter 5. This is about 40 years later than Exodus. Moses, the leader, is reminding this second generation of Israelites what God said 40 years ago. And so have a listen again to that second commandment. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8, and it says this. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. It's fairly simple to understand what this command means, right? It's about not making images, not making an idol that you worship and bow down to. But this is not just a repetition of the first commandment. Last week we looked at commandment number one, which said you shall have no other gods before me, that you shall have no other gods than the God of the Bible. He is to be your one and only God. But commandment two, it's not just repeating the same thing, it's actually saying something different. It's not about worshipping the gods and the idols of the nations around them. That's what they were told in commandment number one. This commandment, number two, it's about making an idol, an image that is supposed to represent the Lord their God. Because that's what the Israelites did. Back in Exodus, this is when Moses went up Mount Sinai, also called Horeb in our passage from Deuteronomy. Moses goes up Mount Sinai and God speaks the Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel. But actually, Moses stays up on the mountain for some time. And the Israelites are at the bottom mountain, they're twiddling their thumbs, and eventually they get too tired of sitting around and waiting. And so rather than Moses come back down and tell them how they should worship God, what they do is they decide to do what they want to do. They make an idol, and they worship the idol, not as a different God, but as if that idol was the Lord their God. So this is what happens. You see it in Deuteronomy chapter 32. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who'll go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off your gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed to him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." So they make a golden calf. But they don't say that this is a new god. It's not a different god to them. It's an image of their god. They say, "This is the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt." They've made him look like a calf because the calf is supposed to represent like a strong thing. It's a symbol of strength. But it's an image of the Lord their God. And this is exactly what the second commandment is saying no to. Don't make an image of God. Don't make an idol to represent the Lord your God to you. Don't worship it. And you kind of think, well, like, why? What's so wrong with this? If something weren't going to help you worship God, wouldn't that be a good thing? But here's the reason why God gives the command. He gives the command because of who he is. God gives this commandment because of who he is, and who is he? Well, the passage said something that's a little bit awkward for us. The passage said that God is a jealous God. Take a look again. I didn't read the whole thing out last time. Here it is. God says, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, on earth beneath, in the waters below. You shall not bow down or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. See, God gives us this commandment because of who he is. He's a jealous God. And we hear this and we think, oh, that sounds bad. That sounds kind of wrong, doesn't it? Like, because whenever we talk about jealousy, it's a bad thing, right? It's jealousy brings about anger and resentment and bitterness towards other people. Jealousy makes us just desire what somebody else has and frustrated that we don't have it for ourselves. And so jealousy is not something we praise. It's not something we want for our kids. It's not a character trait we want to be true of ourselves. But jealousy is different here. Our jealousy that we might experience is different to what this is describing about God. God is not kind of bitter. He's not sitting around moping about what he doesn't have. But what God wants here is for things to be right. He doesn't want what others have. He wants for things to be right. And he wants to be known rightly. That is what you'd say God is jealous for. What God is zealous for, what God is eager for, that people would know him rightly. And an idol stops that from happening. When people portray God as an image, as an idol, it actually stops us knowing our God. Because an image or an idol will always misrepresent God. And think about it for a moment. The golden calf that Israel built. Do you really want to say God is a young bull? Sure, it might be a symbol of strength, but are bulls really known for their intelligence? If someone came and called you a cow, what would your response be? My guess is not, oh, thanks. I always thought I was pretty good, you know. And so if you're going to choose an image for God, what could you choose that's different instead? Maybe you could choose a lion, you know, because they're strong and they're the king of the jungle. But also lions are lazy, right? They make the lionesses go and do all the hunting. And how does a lion ever help you understand the love that God could have for you? So maybe you need to make an image of God in the image of a mother, perhaps, because she has great love and care for her children. But as great as mums are, they're not God. You know, all of us as humans have limitations, right? There's so much we can't do. Do you see the point here? No image, no matter how good it is, no image can ever really represent the God of the universe. And that is why we're told this command, don't make for yourself an image in the form of anything, heaven, on earth, or in the waters. Don't bow down, don't worship them, because images can never properly tell us who our God is. Instead, to know God, there is a huge emphasis on the words God says. We know our God not because we see an image that represents him to us, but we know our God because he tells us what he's like. In knowing God, we don't use our eyes, we use our ears. So listen to these words. This came from Deuteronomy chapter 4, just before the passage that Genevieve read out. And it's talking about the time when Israel first heard the Ten Commandments. Moses is reminding the people what it was like. And this is what he says. He says, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke. The Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words but saw no form. There was only a voice. And he declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments. Or a bit further on again, it says this. You saw no form of any kind on the day the Lord your God spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire. When Israel meet their God, they actually don't see him. There's no form, no figure, no image, because no image can really capture who our God is. So instead, they hear God speaking. That is how we know our God, friends, because he speaks. We know our God when we listen to the words he speaks. And this is something that the Old Testament was very consistent about. Time and again, the laws are given to the Israelites, and the laws tell the nation, don't make an idol, don't make an image of God. And when the nation does do this, well, the prophets call them back. The prophets say to tell the people to repent, because idols will always misrepresent God to the people. And so this is what Isaiah says, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? And what's the answer that's expected there? Well, no one. Nothing. Nothing will do. And this, the same idea is repeated in the New Testament. So in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is speaking to a great crowd at the Areopagus in Athens. And this is what he says. Therefore, since we're God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. When we think about God, you're not supposed to think of things made with silver or gold, of images. We're not to make images to help us get to know our God, no matter how impressive they look, because that is not how we ever know our God. We know our God by listening to what he says. This is something that's consistent in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But actually, the New Testament does have something new to speak about. We know our God by hearing him speak, yes. But, and this is really the crucial bit, but also God has shown us clearly what he's like through Jesus. See, Jesus is God become human. Jesus is the divine being come to live not just with us and amongst us, but as one of us. In Jesus' life on earth here, there were 12 people who were really dedicated to following him around. One of those guys' names was John. And John wrote a biography of all that Jesus did. And this is how he starts off his biography of Jesus' life. He starts by calling Jesus God's Word. So he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the eternal God. He's already there in the beginning, God for all of time. And then John says that something amazing happens further down in verse 14. The Word became flesh. He made his dwelling amongst us. And so we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, there, Jesus, who has always been God, he became a human. He put on flesh and he lived among us. So when we look at Jesus, we're actually seeing God as he really is, the glorious one, the one full of grace, full of truth. So we know God not by making an image that might look like him. We know God also not by going out in nature to experience God. We know God not by having a great time of listening to worship music. You know, nature might show me some things about God, and music might lift my heart to praise God, but I know God by his word. By his word made flesh in the person of Jesus, and by his word that's spoken to me in the pages of the Bible. I know God by his word. So let's think a little bit more then about the second commandment and what that might mean for us today. We might start with a question then. Can we make images of God today? Like, what about artworks? Like this one, the creation of Adam, that great painting by Michelangelo. Or what about the Bibles that we give our kids that have pictures of God or sometimes pictures of Jesus in them? Or what about even like movies or stuff where actors portray Jesus? What should we do with these things? Should I not have put that painting up there? Should we tear out those pages of our Bible and resolve never to watch the Jesus movie again? Well, no, I don't think so, no. Because remember what the command is about here? It's not about art. It's about making an image of God that you use to worship God. So I don't think there's anything intrinsically wrong with those paintings. But we do need to watch out for two things. One is that we don't use those kinds of things to worship God with, that we don't revere them as special in some way because they're a picture of God. But to be honest with you, I don't think that's going to be a problem for kind of us today here. Here's the other thing we need to be careful of, though. These things, the movies, the art, the pictures of Jesus, we need to make sure that they don't shape our understanding of who God is. So there was this TV show called The Chosen, which is a bit more recent. It's a TV series showing the life of Jesus. But the thing about this is, see the guy there at the front, you probably can't see, he's a bit too small there, but the guy who plays Jesus in this TV show, do you know what? He's not actually Jesus. That's no revelation to you, I know. But if you want to meet Jesus, you don't watch this show, actually. What you need to do is you go and pick up your Bible and get into the Bible. Because in the pages of the Bible, that is where we have God's word to us. That is where we hear God speaking to us. So that is where we need to go to know who God is. So let me talk about that a bit more. Let's flesh that out. What does it look like for us to be those who keep hearing God's voice, who keep hearing God speaking to us? Well, to put it plainly then, we need to be people of the word, people of the Bible, people who are in our Bibles constantly, because that is how we know our God, isn't it? And I don't say this so that you go home feeling all guilty about your Bible reading habits, but I want to say this to remind us that the Bible is actually a real thing of joy for us, because in its pages, we meet our God. We know our God. God is not far off and distant for us. God is not, we don't have to wait for a prophet to come to us with a word from God. Or we don't have to lie in bed at night waiting for a voice of God to come down to us. Because if we want to hear God speak, all we have to do is very simply pick up our Bibles and open it and read it. So take a look at this passage from the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says these great words for us. All scripture is God-breathed. How do we have the words in the Bible to us? Well, yes, human authors sat down and wrote it out, but behind all that happening, it's like God has breathed out and the words in the Bible are there for us. This is God talking to you, friends. Isn't that just incredible? How good is that? And this is why, as a church, we want to do the kind of things that we do. Like on our Sundays here, we'll regularly take a book of the Bible and we'll work through it. Like last time we went through the first half of the book in Hebrews. Because this is how God speaks to us. This is how we get to know our God. That's what we want to do as a church. And in our midweek community groups, if you go to our groups, you'll know most of the time in the night when you're together, you'll spend reading the Bible and talking about it with one another. And we do this on purpose because we think, as we read it together, we'll help each other get to know our God. And in fact, this is why we want to cover all sorts of different parts of the Bible. So across a year, both in our church Sundays here and in our community groups, we try to do this. We want to do at least one big series where we go through one of the Gospels so we can put Jesus at front and center, see his life for us. Plus, we want to do a series from another part of the New Testament. Plus, we also want to do a series from a part of the Old Testament as well. Because we're not just trying to do our favorite parts of the Bible over and over, or the parts of the Bible that we understand and it seems simple to us, but we also want to dig into the hard parts, the unfamiliar parts, the parts of the Bible that can seem a bit stranger to us. Because we're convinced that in all parts of the Bible, we meet our God as we hear him speak to us. Which is why over the next 12 weeks, we're going to do something different, something we haven't done before. And starting next week, we're going to spend 12 weeks where we just go through the entire Bible. Now, that's a big kind of task to do. We're not going to be able to cover everything in detail there. But my hope is that we'll get a clear vision of the big story throughout the whole of the Bible. We're going to see the big overall picture of what the Bible says and who our God is as he's at work in the world. And my hope is that as we get get that bigger picture in mind, well, it's going to help us when we get to those parts of the Bible that are a bit kind of more strange for us, a bit more unfamiliar to us. Because if we see how the whole thing works together, then as we're in a part that's a bit strange, we can see what that's there for. So do come back for that next 12 weeks. I'm quite looking forward to jumping into this with you, actually. But let me end with a practical idea just for our own Bible reading that we do in our own time. So the second commandment is telling us not to make an image of God. No image can capture what God is like. Instead, we know God by his word that he speaks. So I do want to encourage us all to be in the Bible for ourselves. And when you do, what are you looking for? Well, of course you're looking for, what is the big picture? What is this saying to me? What do I need to do after I've heard this? But also as we read, make sure you keep asking yourself, what does this passage tell me about my God? Who is he? What is he like? What do I see about God in this part of the Bible? We love getting to know our God because we love our God, right? So in your own reading, make that a habit. Getting to know the God you love better. Making sure you focus on who he is before you think about what do I do as you read the Bible. Let me pray for us, shall we? Let's pray. Our God, we are convinced that you are good and kind, that you are loving and generous, that you're our creator. And we are convinced of these things because you've told us that's what you're like. Please, Lord, please help us get to know you. When we look at the Lord Jesus, we pray that we would get to know you. When we open our Bibles and read the pages there, we pray that you would help us see who you are. Help us not to have images in our head that we rely on, but to listen to your voice and what you tell us is true about you. And pray that this would grow our love for you more and more each day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.